In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm going to read the epistle for Septuagesima, because I think it prepares us for this campaign, our Lenten campaign, that we're going to start on Wednesday. And then St. Paul says these words to the Corinthians, "Knowing not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that he may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. A reading from the letters of St. Maximus the Confessor, God's mercy to the penitent. The heralds of the truth and ministers of divine grace, who have explained to us from the beginning, right down to our own time, each in his own day, the saving will of God, say that nothing is so dear and loved by him as when men turn to him with true repentance. Nothing is so loved by God as someone who turns to him. The scripture says elsewhere, willing that none should perish, that all should come to the knowledge of God. Wishing to show that this by far is the most holy thing of all, the divine word of God the Father, the supreme and only revelation of infinite goodness, deigned to dwell with us in the flesh, humbling himself in a way no words can explain. He said, he did, and he suffered those things which were necessary to reconcile us while we were yet enemies with God the Father, and to call us back again to the life of blessedness from which we had been alienated. Not only did he heal our diseases with his miracles and take away our infirmities by his sufferings, and though sinless, pay our debt for us by his death as if he were a guilty man. It was also his desire that we should aim to become like himself in love of men and in perfect mutual charity, and he taught us this in many ways. He taught us when he proclaimed, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And again, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." In other words, this is a hospital. This is where we get healing. We're healed by our prayer, by receiving him in the Eucharist. He also said that he had come to seek and to save the lost sheep. And on another occasion, he had been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel in the same way in the parable of the lost coin. He referred to it in a symbolic way to the fact that he had come to restore men the royal likeness which he had been lost by the evil smelling of our filthiness of passions. Losing our royal likeness which had been given to us in the garden, which had been lost by the evil smelling filthiness of passion and sin. Likewise, he said, "Just so I tell you," again, as he said before, willing that none should perish. And he tells us, "There is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents." All the host of heaven, when one comes to him, there is joy in heaven. He taught it when he brought relief with oil, wine, and bandages to the man who had fallen among thieves and had been stripped of all his clothing and left half dead from his injuries. Having placed him on his own beast, he entrusted him to the innkeeper, the church. After paying what was needed for his care, he promised that when he came back, he would repay whatever more was spent. Of course, this is the parable of our Lord coming back and taking us home. He taught when he said that the prodigal son's all-loving father took pity on him and kissing him as he came running back repentant, clothed him once more with the beauty of his glory, and did not reproach him in any way for what he had done. When we come to our Lord Jesus Christ, all things are new. All things are done away. Our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. He taught when he found the sheep which had strayed from the divine flock of 100, wandering over hills and mountains. He did not drive it or beat it, but brought it back to the fold. In his mercy, placing it on his shoulders, not driving, but placing it on his shoulders, he does us, taking our burdens and putting them on his shoulders and us. He restored with compassion, unharmed to the rest of the flock. When we come to Christ, we are restored. We are new, unharmed by our sin. He taught when he cried, "Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." By yoke, he meant commandments, or life lived according to the principles of the gospel. By burden, he meant the labor which repentance seems to involve. "For my yoke," he says, "is easy, and my burden is light." Again, teaching divine righteousness and goodness, he commanded, "Be holy, be perfect, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. And forgive, and it shall be forgiven you. And whatsoever you wish that men would do to you, do likewise unto them." St. Maximus the Confessor. There was a handout in the back. You didn't get one there in the back pew there. Our vicar at St. Timothy's developed this list of things that we could take on for Lent. And I'll read it at this time. "This period of Lent is an annual time of reconciliation with God. While we ought to always bring our sins, fears, and weaknesses, as well as our thanksgiving to God daily in prayer, Lent gives us an opportunity to focus on our deepest fears and flaws that separate us from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The tradition is to give up something as a sacrifice and showing our love for God. Lent is about giving up ourselves." There's a difference there, giving up something. But God asks us to give up ourselves and let him cleanse us. This is a time of reconciliation, cleansing. "Keeping in mind, let's look at a few things regarding fasting as sacrifice toward giving in to new habits based on Holy Scripture that we should consider in our desire to develop a renewed relationship with God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Fast from saying hurtful words, but instead say kind words. Fast from sadness and be filled with gratitude. Fast from anger and be filled with patience. Fast from pessimism and be filled with hope. Fast from worries and have trust in God. Fast from complaints and contemplate simplicity. Fast from pressures and be prayerful. Fast from bitterness and fill your hearts with joy. Fast from selfishness and be compassionate with others. Fast from grudges and be reconciled. Fast from self-importance and embrace humility. Fast from giving advice and be silent so you can listen. Fast from time spent online and spend that time in prayer. Fast from too much to do and spend more time in worship. Fast from the news and spend that time reading Holy Scripture. Fast from ignoring those in need by witnessing your faith to them. Fast from focusing on the ways of the world and focus on the ways of God." So again, St. Paul tells us to get prepped for the race, to get those priests. Lenten season has been a time for preparing us for the campaign of Lent, a our spiritual campaign, to renew our relationship with God, to let Him show us as we approach Him in silence, silence and prayer, and just holy silence, and let Him dig deep within us and inform us of our faults that sometimes we suppress, and let Him show it to us plainly. As St. Paul says, now we've trained for this campaign. Let us enter this campaign that starts on Wednesday. And let us now come to His table and get food for that journey of Lent. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.